John Calvin lived much of his life under pressure. He was exiled, opposed, at madalas kinikritisize. Ngunit ang greatest struggle niya ay hindi external, kung hindi internal. That learning to trust God's plan was not dependent on his effort or control. Despite his sharp mind and disciplined lifestyle, Calvin came to see that God's sovereignty was greater than human striving. Tulad ni Leah and ni Rachel sa passage natin ngayong umaga, who tried to secure love and significance through their own efforts. Friends, where in your life right now are you striving to earn love, approval, and significance? Our passage this morning will remind us that the peace comes not from competing or controlling, but from resting in God's providence. That underneath competition and conflict in our hearts lie a deeper human longing to be seen, a longing to be loved, a longing to be valued that only God can meet. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series in the book of Genesis, the God of Isaac and Jacob. Last week po, kung nakasama namin kayo, nakita po natin sa chapter 29 na pagkatapos ng isang dangerous na 3 to 4 week journey ni Jacob, by God's providence, he led him safely sa Padam Aram, gets to meet his relatives, his uncle Laban, ang kanyang mga anak-anak ni Laban, na babae na si Rachel and Leah, and worked hard for 7 years for the woman that he loved, which is si Rachel. So we've seen that last week. But on the honeymoon tent, his uncle Laban out-Jacobed him. Again, if you got that play on words, Jacob means deceived. So his uncle Laban out-Jacobed him or deceived him and switched Rachel for Leah and tricked him into working for Rachel for another 7 years. Now, si Jacob was tricked into a polygamous relationship where it goes against the creation account where God only created one wife for Adam. Ngayon umaga, makikita natin ang strange love triangle na ito where Jacob's sister wives were always competing with each other. Ang situation na ito ay messy. Multiple wives, multiple children, and years of jealousy and conflict. Yet through it all, God was at work, bringing about the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel through Jacob. In short, despite all of these messiness, God still is in control and is working na mangyari yung mga purposes na tinalaga niya. Ang panalangin ko sa ating ngayong umaga as we study this passage is to stop striving to secure what only God can provide. That we would learn to deepen our trust in His providence and rejoice in His faithful provision, knowing He works all things according to His good purposes. So the main idea, or the main argument of our sermon this morning is this. Human effort cannot secure what only God can sovereignly provide. Human effort cannot secure what only God can sovereignly provide. This passage is divided into 3 points. Number one, God sees the unloved. God sees the unloved. Chapter 29, verses 31 to 35. Number two, People strive but cannot secure. People strive but cannot secure. Chapter 30, verses 1 to 21. That's chapter 30, verses 1 to 21. And number 3, God acts in sovereign grace. God acts in sovereign grace, which we will end in chapter 30, verses 22 to 24. Una, makikita natin how Leah is unloved by Jacob, yet God in His grace intervenes. Pangalawa, makita natin din kung paano ang magkapatid na Leah and Rachel strive to get the things that they desperately desired. Pero malinaw na hindi nila ito kayang isecure. And lastly, pangatlo, makikita din natin that God acts in His timing and He freely gives in grace that Rachel could not secure. So let's jump right in sa ating first point. God sees the unloved. God sees the unloved. Let me pause right. If you're here right now and you feel unloved, God sees you. God notices you. Now, it was already hurtful para kay Leah last week nang naalaman niya na si Jacob had chosen Rachel over her. When Laban asked him, anong kabayaran ang gusto mo sa iyong service? That's already hurtful. It must have been devastating then for her to witness ang galit ni Jacob nung na-realize niya na hindi siya si Rachel sa marriage bed. Probably in that honeymoon night, Leah was hoping that may hint na alam ni Jacob na siya si Leah and probably, hopefully, ma-inlove sa kanya. At lalo nang nalaman niya na pagtatrabahuan pa ni Jacob si Rachel for the next 7 years. Marahil araw-araw nararanasan ni Leah ang malamig na treatment at rejection ng kanyang asawa na si Jacob. Ang kanilang intimacy was not rooted in love but carried out of obligation. Pakiramdam niya, Jacob doesn't notice her. Hindi siya nakikita, hindi siya napapansin. Nobody sees her pain. Nobody except God. Verse 31. Look at your Bibles. Chapter 29 of Genesis, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, hindi sinasabi ng passage natin na Jacob really hated si Leah. This means, basically sa Hebrew, unloved. Ang silang hated means unloved. Jacob's love and affections ay na kay Rachel. Alam ni Leah, she was unloved, and she wept silently. But the Lord sees everything and opened this lowly, unloved sister's womb and closed yung nakakababatang kapatid ng si Rachel. Kaya naman nung nalaman ni Leah na siya'y buntis, tumaas kaagad yung hopes niya na mamahalin siya ng asawa niya. At makikita ito kung paano niya pinangalanan lahat ng kanyang mga anak. Some mga scholars say it's kind of pathetic how she named yung kanyang mga anak just to express yung kanyang nalaramdaman. But it happened. Una, pinangalanan niya ang panganay niyang anak na lalaki na Reuben. Reuben, which means look a son or behold a son. And she attributed ang pagbubuntis niya sa Panginoon nung sinabi niya sa verse 32, the Lord has looked upon my afflictions. So just imagine that if si Rachel naririnig ng tinatawag yung kanyang pamangkin, it's kind of like reminding her na see ang favor ni Lord sa akin. Kind of like waving it in her face. Interesting, ano? Leah thought that having a child would change the way Jacob feels about her. That he would, sabi dyan, love her. But she was wrong. She was still unloved kahit may anak na siya. Kaya nung nabuntis siya ulit, pinangalanan naman niyang Simeon. From the Hebrew word Shema. I think familiar karamihan sa atin yung word Shema in the Hebrew in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Na it's a call. When Moses says, Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the Shema. Hear, listen. Yun yung Simeon. Kaya sinabi niya sa verse 33, the Lord has heard that I am hated. Kaya tumaas muli ang kanyang pag-asa na mapapansin siya ni Jacob. And again, kung naririnig ni Rachel yun, it's another na parang dinidiin ulit sa kanya. May favor sa akin ng Panginoon. May pangalawa ako. And by the way, wala siyang anak. Pero kahit dalawa na ang anak ng lalaki, which is it's a big thing during that time, hindi pa tinabago ang nararamdaman ng Panginoon kay Leah, ni Jacob kay Leah. Kaya nung nabuntis siya for the third time, nabuhayan muli si Leah. At sinabi niya sa verse 34, this time my husband will be attached to me. That's why she named him Levi, which means to be attached. Obviously, she still longs for Jacob's love and attachment. Pero it seems like Jacob was still detached sa kanya. Kaya nung nabuntis siya sa ika-apat na pagkakataon, there was a shift ng kanyang heart. From longing, you see there, praising ang nangyari. Praising. Kaya she named him Judah. Judah means praise. Sabi niya sa verse 35, this time I will praise the Lord. Then she ceased bearing. Dito hindi na umasa si Leah sa pagmamahal ni Jacob. Instead, she thanked and praised God for blessing her with 4 sons. Kung alam lang ni Leah kung gaano siya ka-blessed sa mga anak niya, lalo na sa anak niyang si Levi at saka si Judah. Bakit kamo siya blessed? Because itong dalawang mamang ito will be the father of the priestly and kingly tribes ng Israel. Which is really encouraging. Hindi niya alam yon, but she's thanking the Lord kung ano yung meron siya ngayon. Ang dugo ni Leah ay dadaloy sa mga ugat ni Moses, ni Aaron, ni King David, and ultimately sa Messiah na si Jesus Christ. Leah indeed was blessed far more than she ever thought or think. But then again, she was thankful, she was grateful, she was blessed by 4 boys. This was highly valued sa Old Testament. Dahil ang magkaroon ng anak na lalaki, mismo ay big deal sa time na ito. Dahil ang mga anak na lalaki ay nagdadala ng family line. At through them, napepreserve ang family name at inheritance. Kaya sa context nila, it was seen as a significant blessing at a source of security kapag nagkaroon ka ng anak na lalaki. Isa lang yun. What more? 4. Pero para kay Leah, having 4 boys, it's not enough. It's not enough. Ang gusto talaga ni Leah ay ang pagmamahal ng asawa niya si Jacob. Yun ang kanyang desire. And she tried to win her husband's love and approval by having children. Thinking that if she wins her husband's heart through them, she will be happy. She will be satisfied. Mga kaibigan, ang storya ni Leah exposes a tendency ng hearts natin lahat. We try to earn love, try to earn approval, or even seek our identity through something or someone. Achievements, relationships, sa ating trabaho, and even ministry. Ang madalas na sinasabi natin sa ating sarili, if I succeed, if I perform well sa work, mapapansin ako ng boss ko. Mapapansin ako ng mga colleagues ko. Then I will be happy. If I get high grades or accomplish certain tasks well, then mapapansin ako ng teacher ko. Mapapansin ako ng classmates ko. Then maybe, just maybe, mapapansin ako ng parents ko. Then I will be happy. Or we say, if only I were loved by this person, magiging okay na ako. Kung meron lang ako nito, 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 I will be truly satisfied. Nakita natin sa passage that Leah got what was culturally valuable, yet hindi siya nasiyahan. Hindi siya nasatisfy. As a matter of fact, kahit makuha niya ang favor at pag-ibig mismo ni Jacob, Jacob will never satisfy her. Will never satisfy the longing of her heart. Friends, where do you draw your sense of worth from? Whose attention do you long for? Friends, believe that God sees you in your affliction and He knows what your soul truly needs. And it's not coming from the things of this world. Mga kaibigan, like Leah, we can try to earn love or approval through relationships, achievements, and as I mentioned earlier, ministry, or even out of our good works. Pero ang totoo niyan, human love is never enough to satisfy us. And our efforts cannot satisfy the deepest longings of our core, of our heart. Friend, God sees you in your affliction. Alam niya ang mga iyak ng puso mo at ang mga sugat ng walang nakakapansin kahit na mga tao na malapit sa iyo. At ito ang mabuting balita, ito ang gospel. The gospel shows us that God's favor is not something we have to earn. In Christ, God not only sees us, but also loves us. God sent His Son, Jesus, to rescue the unloved, the overlooked, the striving, the weary, those who were not seeking Him and His love. Jesus bore our sin and our shame on the cross nung siya'y na-crucified, fully satisfying the wrath of God that we deserve. In Him, we are declared righteous, not because of our works or efforts, but solely because of His perfect obedience and sacrifice. Therefore, we no longer need to earn human approval to seek validation from the world. Kung ikaw ay may relasyon na sa Panginoon Jesucristo, hindi na kailangan. In Christ, we are adopted into His family, fully seen, fully known, fully loved, fully accepted because of Christ's finished work on the cross. Kaya ang response natin dapat ay hindi, notice me, look at me, bless me, love me, hindi po. We can now respond, those who are in Christ can now respond in worship and gratitude, trusting that God Himself is our ultimate treasure and sufficient joy. We can now rest in His love, knowing na yung love ng Panginoon na ito is enough. So friends, stop striving to be noticed by others. God already sees you. Sapat na yon. Will you trust Him enough to praise Him even others don't? Also, as a church, dito sa Crossroads, let us cultivate a culture of noticing. Yan ang prayer ko sa atin ngayong umaga, that we would cultivate a culture of noticing. Kadalasan sa church, there is an unintentional practice na madalas ang manotice ay ang mga leaders, mga gifted na teachers or preachers, the talented member, mga tao na laging nasa harapan na nasa stage, or those who are socially connected. Yun ang madalas mapansin. At ang madalas na ma-overlook, the quiet, the single, the struggling, the socially awkward, those na may past, those with special needs, the less impressive. Friends, are we noticing the Leahs in our congregation? Friends, initiate conversations. Ask deeper questions. And follow up consistently. Hindi lang dahil, oh, kamusta? Okay, bye. Don't just ask, how are you? Ask something more personal like this. How are you really? So when you ask someone after the service, how are you? Okay lang. Wag mo alisan. Usually you offer, hey, kamusta? How are you? So okay lang. Don't let go and look at their through their eyes and ask them, how are you really? Kamusta ka ba talaga? That gives a different tone, ano po. How is your heart really doing right now? Sa mga nangyayari, all of the craziness na nangyayari sa mundo ngayon. Crossroads. Let us be the kind of church that notices the unnoticeable or the unnoticed, because we worship a God who sees the unloved. Tulad ng nabanggit ko kanina, kahit makuha pa ni Leah ang pagmamahal ni Jacob, it will still fail to satisfy her. At ito ang naramdaman kasi ni Rachel. Let's look at the point number two. People strive but cannot secure. Let's read verse 1 to 2 in the English Standard Version. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? Although Jacob naman loves eto si Rachel at yung affections niya ay talagang sa kanya, naging insecure si Rachel sa ate niya. For Leah now has 4 sons. She was devastated and humiliated. Tuwing nakikita niya mga cute niyang mga pamangkin, mas lumalalim ang kanyang desire na magkaroon ng sarili niyang mga anak. At mas lalo ding lumalalim ang inggit niya sa kanyang kapatid. Surely she had heard stories of how the Lord providentially caused Jacob's grandmother Sarah and his mother Rebecca's barrenness. Narinig na niyan siguro sa kwento ni Jacob. But her bitterness clouded her view of God and her situation. Kahit alam na niya yun. And so she complained and pressured Jacob to do something that is basically impossible. Sabi niya sa verse 1 and chapter 30, look at your Bibles. Give me children or I shall die. Nagalit si Jacob, so he rebuked her sa verse 2. Am I in the place of God who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb? Ayita yung conflict na nangyari dito? Friends, this is a good reminder sa atin that it is God who opens and closes the womb. It is God who causes to open and close the womb. In God's good and perfect providence, siya ang dahilan kung bakit may mga pagbubuntis na hindi natutuloy. At siya din ang dahilan kung bakit may mga hindi planadong mabuntis ay nabubuntis. Both can be really devastating, hindi po ba? Ang Diyos ang nagbigay ng bata Sa mga hindi hindi pinlano ito, ang Diyos ang nagbigay ng buhay sa sinapupunan mo. Siya ang nag-design yan, hindi ikaw. So, if you're here today or you know someone who has somehow unplanned na pagbubuntis and ayaw mo yung anak na ito, hindi ikaw ang nagbigay ng buhay niyan. Ang Diyos ang nagbigay ng buhay na yan. Ang isa lang ang desisyon na dapat mong gawin, ituloy mo yan. And ask for the Lord's grace. So if you're getting impatient, angry, frustrated, and you find yourself blaming others kung bakit hindi matuloy or bakit natuloy yung pagbubuntis o hindi pagbubuntis or whatever situation you're in right now, maybe your problem is not with other people. Your problem really is with God. Pero kahit alam ni Rachel na ang Diyos ang cause ng pregnancies and barrenness, and despite her husband's rebuke, Rachel took matters into her own hands. She gave in to her fleshy desires and succumbed to cultural pressure. She then now resolved to rely on cultural practices. May naalala ba kayo sa ganung story? May naalala ba kayo ron? Kasi this reminds us of Jacob's grandmother, si Sarah, who gave her Egyptian slave Hagar to Abraham nung hindi siya mabuntis-buntis. A surrogate son for her, as described sa Genesis chapter 60. Rachel also did the same. Tingnan niyo po sa verses 3 to 4 ng chapter 30. Sabi diyan in your Bibles, "Here is my servant Bilhah, go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her. So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. Jacob slept with Bilhah, and she conceived and gave birth to a son, and Rachel named him Dan, which means God has judged me, which found vindication upon Bilhah giving birth sa isang lalaki." Then sa verses 5 hanggang 8, Bilhah conceived again, nabuntis ulit, and gave birth to another son at pinangalanan naman siya ni Rachel ng Naphtali. Naphtali means she wrestled or struggled, which gives an imagery that she wrestled and struggled with her sister and now she prevailed. Nanalo siya ngayon. You see the competition, yung battle of the wombs na to? Kung narinig nyo na yung battle of the bands, ito battle of the wombs. Diba? Battle of the wombs. Siya, naalamangan kita ngayon. Mahal na ako mismo ni Jacob. Ngayon, mas mamahalin niya ako lalo. O paano ka? Rachel found significance in having children, thinking that if she had children, she would be satisfied. Friends, similarly, we often find ourselves trying to control what only God can provide. Whether it's children, career success, relational fulfillment, Rachel's impatience led her to take matters into her own hands, relying on cultural shortcuts instead of God's providence. Yun po nangyayari dito. Friends, where in your life right now are you trying to force outcomes that only God can control? Are you trying to play God sa situation mo ngayon? Na malinaw naman na hindi talaga magmumula sa iyo o kanino man o saan man. At ang Diyos lang ang pwedeng magbigay. Guard our hearts, brothers and sisters. Let's guard our hearts against bitterness and comparison. Rachel envied Leah and allowed jealousy to cloud her view of God. Bitterness can lead us to sinful shortcuts and relational harm. Yun po nangyayari ho dyan. If we're blinded sa mga desires natin, it would lead us to sin that would cause the harm to the very people that we love para makuha lang natin ang gusto natin. Friends, what envies are influencing your actions right now? Meron ba? Instead of striving and frustration, bring your desires to God in prayer, trusting His timing and provision. But Leah knows she is unable to conceive. Nung nakita niya ito, it seems like nananalo na si Rachel. Alam niyang hindi na siya nabubuntis. So anong gagawin niya para makalamang ulit? Any guess? Huwag na kayong manghula kasi nasa verse 9 to 11. Look at your Bibles. Para may sasagot pa ng hula. Ano? Tignan ho natin, hindi ko tayo naghuhulaan dito sa Bible tayo tumitingin. Verses 9 to 11. She struck back, ginaya niya si Rachel, and gave her servant Zilpha to Jacob as a wife. At nang dahil dito, si Zilpha mismo conceived and gave birth to a son. Now Leah named him Gad. G-A-D, Gad. Which means, swerte. Swerte, nakalamang ako ng 1 point. Or good fortune. Yun po ang ibig sabihin ng God. At sa verses 12 to 13, Zilpha bore another son. Nananganak ulit. Leah named him Asher, which means happy or good fortune. Yun po ang ibig sabihin ng Asher. Now, Leah now brags sa mga kababaihan sa village and started, kasi sinasabi niya na ngayon, ang mga babae sa baryo, ang tawag ngayon sa akin ay blessed. Ang tawag ngayon sa akin ay happy. Kasi sunod-sunod na yung aking nagkakaroon ng mga anak. Lamang na lamang kami. Mukhang natatalo na sa Battle of the Womb si Rachel dito. So, this once again caused her, si Rachel, to be disheartened and desperate. Naging desperate na rito si Rachel. Tingnan niyo po sa verses 14 hanggang 16. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to her, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. Ano nangyayari dito? Alam mo, totoong-totoo yung Bible, ano? It exposes talaga human nature, yung sin. It does not cover anything. Hindi siya sugar-coated. Ito talaga nangyayari sa Bible. So read your Bibles. You will discover things like these. So ano nangyayari dito? Ang panganay na anak ni Leah na si Reuben, nakakuha ng halaman na ang tawag ay mandrakes. A plant called mandrakes. Ito ay considered na Mediterranean fertility drug noong panahon po na ito. It is believed na meron itong properties na nakakatulong daw sa pag-increase ng fertility ng babae. In short, nakakatulong daw ito sa pagbubuntis ng babae. Pero this was not proven. This is rather superstitious than scientific. So, wala hong katotohanan ito. Wala itong pagkakaiba sa paniniwala sa Pilipinas na sa mga gusto mabuntis, pumunta ka lang sa Bulacan at sumayaw sa... may mga sumayaw dito. Hindi ka mabuntis? Ilang taon? Naku, ang tagal na niya. Pumunta ka sa Ubando. Sumayaw ka ron. Mga ilang oras, kahit umuulan. At magugulat ka, mabubuntis ka. Marami po naniniwala po dito kahit hanggang ngayon, ano? Pero ganun po ang katumbas noon, yung superstition ng mandrakes. Rachel, who was desperate si Rachel eh, na nagpakumbaba siya at nakiusap sa kanyang ate kung pwedeng makahingi. Leah, like her father Laban, saw an opportunity to have access to Jacob and struck a deal with Rachel. Naalala niyo po yung ginawa mismo ni Laban nung pagdating kay Jacob last week? Parang ganito rin yon. Leah is willing to give her some of her son's mandrake in return for an intimate time with Jacob. Pumayag naman si Rachel. Again, we see this pattern in Laban last week, who treated Rachel as a form of payment kay Jacob. That's why Jacob served her 7 years and another 7 years. So verse 16 in chapter 30, Leah met Jacob after work and told him about the agreement with Rachel. Notice she spoke to him not as a husband, but as a paid worker tulad ng tatay niya. The same approach na ginawa rin niya sa tatay niya, parang business is business. Pero si Leah rito more direct kay Jacob. Another thing to notice dito sa part na ito ng narrative, it was Rachel who controlled which wife or slave wife ang pwedeng makisiping kay Jacob. Siya ang nasusunod. Jacob was passive. He's not leading her well. And it seems like she has kept Leah from her conjugal rights for a time. In short, ang reason kung bakit hindi nakakasiping si Leah is because of Rachel. Kasi desperate na eh. At bakit si Rachel lang nasusunod dito? Nakanino ba ang puso ni Jacob? Ulo si Jacob. Leeg si Rachel. I hope this is not true sa mga relationships sa mag-asawa. Jacob was passive. At ganoon na nga po, natuloy ang deal. And both got what they wanted. At tulad na nangyayari sa chapter 29 verse 31, where God saw Leah's heartbreaking situation, dito naman sa chapter 30 verse 17, God heard Leah's cry. Sabi sa verse 17, in your Bibles, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Verse 19, and Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons. So she called him Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. God heard. God heard Leah's cries and opened her womb. Sabi sa verse 17 and chapter 30, Leah mistook God's mercy and grace as a payment for giving Jacob her servant Zilpha. So she named him Issachar. Issachar. Which means wages or reward. Now, you have to be slow sa mga binibitawan ni Leah tsaka ni Rachel dito. Ano? Kasi they're not really theologically aligned, okay? Kasi napagkamal, dahil sa naging mabait ako sa aking servant, dahil binigay ko aking servant sa Zilpha, dahil dyan binless ako ng Panginoon. Hindi po ito formula. Hindi ito formalistic, no? Mali po ang paniniwala. Kagaya ng mandrakes na superstitious, parang mali rin ang theology ni Leah rito. So, but still, yung grace ng Panginoon was being extended sa kanya because God is fulfilling His purposes. Why? Kasi yung pangako niya kay Abraham, many children. At part po ito, nabubuo na po rito ng dahan-dahan ang 12 tribes ng Israel. Tapos pagdating naman sa verses 19 to 20, Leah gave birth to her sixth biological son. This time, Leah accepted that her husband will never be attracted to her. Take notice of her. Her husband will not love her. But now, at least, she hopes, anong sabi dyan? That her husband will honor her. At least, respetuhin naman siguro ako ng aking asawa. Kaya pinangalanan niyang Zebulun, which means honor. Then in verse 21 of chapter 30, she gave birth to a daughter whom she named Dinah, which means judgment or vindication, saying that she had triumphed over her sister in the battle of the wombs. See, lamang na ako. Si Leah at Rachel dito were striving hard to get what they wanted, either by hook or by crook. The sin here is not just striving, but seeking ultimate joy and satisfaction in created things rather than in God. That's the problem. Mga kaibigan, kung ang litanya na natin, dahil sa meron tayong kagustuhan sa buhay na gusto natin matuloy at ang litanya natin is this, give me children or I shall die, may problema po tayo. kung yun ang sinisigaw mo, kung yun ang litanya mo. Kapag sinasabi natin, give me a boyfriend or girlfriend or I shall die. May problema po tayo. Give me a spouse or children or I shall not be complete. Give me money, material possessions, or I will not be happy. Give me a cell phone or a Wi-Fi, or I shall not survive. No youth. Give me likes and positive comments, or follow me on social media, or I shall be insignificant. Kung ito na ang litanya po natin, then we are already finding our significance, identity, and security in the created, not on the creator. And this is idolatrous. Idolatrous. Like Rachel and Leah, when we believe that if I only have this, I'll finally be satisfied, we set our hopes up for a big disappointment. Created things cannot bear the weight of our deepest longings. True satisfaction is found only in God. So we must repent of these misplaced desires and learn to delight in Him above all things. Pero ang reality po is we have all done this. Lahat po tayo trying to cover up that longing sa ating puso with things, with stuff, with people. And it's not working. We have all looked to created things to give us what only God can provide. And the problem is not just our circumstances. Ang problema po dito ay ang ating puso. Ang ating puso ang problema. We don't just desire good things, we turn good things into ultimate things. Which is hindi dapat. And this is where the gospel meets us. Because instead of finding our satisfaction in God, we all have gone our own way. That's all of us. Yet God in His grace did not leave us in our striving. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who perfectly trusted the Father and never sought satisfaction outside of Him. And on the cross, Jesus took upon Himself the penalty of our disordered desires, our sinful desires, our idolatry, our striving, our misplaced hopes. In exchange, He offers us Himself. Friends, the answer to our restless striving is not getting what you want. It's receiving Christ. Because in Him, we are truly known, fully loved, and fully satisfied. If you have not placed your hope in Christ and what He has done on that cross for forgiveness of sins, there is an invitation na pagsisihan nyo na ang ating mga kasalanan ng self-reliance or finally worshiping other gods to satisfy us. Turn away from these things, mga kapatid, mga kaibigan, and turn to Christ. Place our hope in Him and what He has done on the cross for salvation and forgiveness of sins. So, crossroads, we must expose the futility of idolatry and help one another reorient our hearts toward God. Hindi natin kaya mag-isa to kahit Christian tayo. We need one another. That's why you are blessed to be part, to be a member of not just Crossroads. If you're a member of a local church who is healthy and centered in God's Word and the Gospel, then you are in a good place. Kasi kailangan natin ang bawat isa para baguhin ang mga ganitong klaseng attitudes na meron tayo and practices. Instead of affirming worldly measures of success or fulfillment, we disciple one another to find our joy in God alone. That's the beauty of church membership. That's the beauty of being part of a local church. The church should be a community that reminds each other. No gift, whether family, success, or relationship, can replace God, the gift giver. So, God graciously blessed Leah with more children. Panalo na ba siya? Yung ba talaga dapat dito kung sino man nanalo? But instead of bringing peace, this also deepened Rachel's insecurity and sorrow. Kahit napakaraming anak ni Leah, na sa kanyang paningin na siya'y nanalo, pakiramdam niya talo pa rin siya. At si Rachel naman, mas lalong nalungkot, lalong na insecure, lalong lumubog sa kadiliman ng kanyang sitwasyon. But now, here's something that happened, nakakaiba sa pangyayari sa battle na ito. Instead, Rachel trusting on mandrakes and worldly wisdom, Rachel did something different dito. She prayed for God's grace. That's number three and last. God acts in sovereign grace. Rachel prayed for a child. Scholars say that she prayed daily, even hourly. Hindi lang sa, she didn't just pray to God, she used the covenant name of God. Lord, Yahweh, the same name na ginamit mismo ni Leah. Lord, na ilang beses ginamit ni Leah, I think 3 times. And now this is the first time sa chapter na to, sa study na to, na ginamit niya, tinawag niya, the God of the father of Abraham and Isaac and the God of Jacob, the covenant God which is si Leah. Which is si Yahweh. Sabi sa verse 22 to 24. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. When God says, which is madalas yung narinig ko sa passage, listen, saw, remember, asaan po nyo ang kasunod lagi niyan, yung action ng Panginoon. When God saw, when God heard, when God remembered, laging may action na kasunod yon. Ang words na open her womb ay the same words na ginamit sa chapter 29, verse 31, para kay Leah na kung saan first time siyang nabuntis. Ang tawag po dito ay literary inclusion. Where both simula at huli ay parehas. Where both Leah and Rachel had children only because of God's sovereign grace. Not mandrakes, not surgery, not superstition, God. If you're praying for a child and we're not satisfied sa pagiging childless, let me be direct by saying this. You will never be satisfied kahit may anak ka. Because our satisfaction should be anchored in God alone. Sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Rachel conceived and gave birth to her first son. Hooray! Her biological son. And his name is Joseph. Which means, may the Lord add another one, another son. And God will, and God would. For she will have another son, and he will be named Benjamin. Makikita po natin yan sa chapter 35. God visited both Leah and Rachel at their low points in their lives. Ang tawag po dyan, this is God's grace. Friend, God comes to the lowly-hearted, tulad ng ginawa niya kay Leah at kay Rachel in their lowest point ng kanilang buhay. According sa isang great reformer, a preacher once quote him, na si Martin Luther, and he said, does God really have nothing better to do than to notice the humble, than to notice the lowly people in this family pertaining kay Jacob? The gospel of Jesus Christ answers this question. With a resounding yes, God does look to the lowly. This is exactly what God delights to do. God shows His grace by caring for the undeserving. In Jesus Christ, he set his love on the unloving, undeserving, sinful people tulad ng family ni Jacob. Isang pamilya na flawed, ang daming issues at drama, messy, and often faithless. Yet God chose them. God lavished his love sa kanila. Not because of their greatness, but because of his grace. But he did not just see the lowliness of this sinful family, but the sinful brokenness of the whole world. Kasama po tayo doon. Instead of turning away, he drew near. In Jesus Christ, God took on flesh, entered into our weakness, and lived among the lowly. He did not come for the impressive, but for the sinners. Jesus lived a righteous life we failed to live, then died on the cross in the place of us sinners, bearing God's full judgment in our place. He rose again on the third day in victory, so that anyone who repents and believes in him is forgiven, counted righteous, and brought into God's family. So friends, I hope that the gospel is soaked na ngayon sa inyo, hindi lamang sa inyong mga tenga, kundi sa inyong puso. It is my prayer that God would make his glorious work of grace sa life ninyo ngayon. As we conclude, God chose a broken family, rejected, envious, striving for love and worth. Yet in the middle of all the sin and struggle, God is quietly at work. He sees the unloved, katulad ni Leah, and he opens wombs, katulad ng sila magkapatid. Not because they deserved it, but because he is gracious to sinners. This passage exposes our own hearts this afternoon. As we are all tempted to look for our identity sa relationships, sa success o approval ng ibang tao, yet not satisfied, this is us, tulad nila. But God's answer is not to abandon us. God pursued us. So, ang imbitasyon na to muli ay binigay ho sa atin. Sa mga hindi mananampalataya, magtiwala sa Kanya. Sa mga mananampalataya, mas mapaalalahanan tayo ng katotohanan ito. At magkaroon tayo ng mas malalim na kumpiyansa at tiwala sa ating Diyos na nagligtas sa atin. Who was forsaken so that we might be forgiven. In Jesus Christ, God fully answers Leah and Rachel's longings. Not just to be seen or to have, but to be loved and accepted through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Sinners are forgiven and brought into God's family, not by striving, but by grace. And we need to understand and remember this as we end. Human effort or human striving cannot secure what only God can sovereignly provide. At ngayong umahapon na ito, as we have been repeatedly pinaalalahanan ng ginawa ni Christ, good news or the gospel, now we will once again be reminded of the gospel, not just by hearing, but by seeing as we share a meal today through communion. But let me first pray for us ngayong oras na ito. As our ushers gets ready. Thank you, Father, that through Christ, we know we're not forsaken. Hindi na namin kailangan magpakapagod to win yung approval ninyo, to win your favor. Ginawa na po ni Christ. Something na hindi namin kayang gawin. We're thankful for yung grace ng Panginoon sa amin in saving us, drawing us to you. Something that we do not have the ability to do. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Pray that my brothers and sisters would be reminded of this truth, that we would be satisfied and find contentment in our relationship sa inyo, and be happy and contented in what you have given us, in what season na nilagay mo kami ngayon. We do pray that you would be honored and glorified, that we would stop longing but start praising for what we have and what we don't have, knowing that you are a sovereign God who knows what He's doing, who is working things na hindi namin alam kung paano. And maybe hindi namin kailangan malaman, we just need to trust you. We can only know much through your word. But help us to trust you in the midst of the things na hindi namin alam. I pray as we break bread together ngayong hapon, that this would be a worshipful time, a meditative time sa mga kapatiran, what you have done for us, and what we must continue doing until po ng pagbalik ninyo. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.